Well, after a little mishap, Sally Lucas has arrived for Talking Travel. What happened, Sally?
I got locked out. I'm bashing on the door and pressing the buzzer, but no one was listening. They all had their headphones on.
We're all listening to 2NURFM going, where's Sally?
Yeah, good times and great music, but no travel.
Well,
oh,
this
dear.
Is Talking Travel. You're here now.
I'm here.
Where are we going today?
We're going to celebrate Ayers Rock Resort's 40th birthday. So that wonderful part of our country, which is, of course, known now as Uluru. And it made me think back when I saw that it's 50 years ago since I first went there when it was called Ayers Rock. 50 years. I cannot believe that.
Wow.
And back then, it was only a really basic little motel. Some of our listeners may remember having travelled here in those days. A dirt road where everyone used to get bogged if it rained. There were always cars broken down at the side of the road getting from bogged. And then this motel, it was one of those... If you can remember 50 years ago, anyone who's old enough, they were very basic motels we used to have back in the day.
Right.
Chenille bedspreads, bar heaters, and the restaurant. Well, I wouldn't even call it that.
But you would have still enjoyed it at the time,
but
surely.
The place doesn't change.
Yeah.
The place is spiritual. It is beautiful. And I thought, wow. And so that part of the Ayers Rock was back then where this little motel was was allocated to the Indigenous people. So where the resorts are now are further away from the rock than it used to be back in those days.
Oh.
So their community lives closer to the rock. It's their sacred place. You know, as you know, no one can climb on it anymore and all that sort of thing. So, which I think is a very good thing, to be quite honest with you.
I've never been.
Haven't you?
No,
Oh, look, you've got to go. I suggest to people the best time to go is spring. Of course, like everywhere, the desert has flora too. And all the desert flora comes out. So you've got this beautiful blue sky. You've not just got a red centre, you've got a green centre as well. So it looks absolutely spectacular. But a lot of people don't realise that the Olgas, as they were known, now Katajuta, the domes of the Olgas are actually much higher than Uluru itself. And that one of the main reasons was the sacred site of Uluru was, to stop the climbers. But the other reason was that when you climbed up the top of that rock, it's quite high. It's immensely high. I've done aerial flight over the Olgas and that, and it's really spectacular to do from the air. It's got its own weather pattern, and it gets very cold up there. So they have these silly climbers, you know, sometimes from overseas, coming underdressed in thongs or inadequate footwear and clothing, not taking any water with them. Then they get up to the top, and it's slippery, like it had got quite shiny in spots over the years, and you've only had a chain to get you up the first little bit. No protection, nothing. And they were having to helicopter all these people down with hypothermia. And
wow, so it's kind of like climbing Mount Everest.
Not as bad as that. But they weren't dressing to cater for. Yeah. They were just thinking what the temperature's like on the ground and not realising when you get up that high, the temperature changes. As we all know, once you get up higher in your altitude, it gets colder and colder and colder. But anyway, it's just hard to believe that, you know, 500 million years Ayers Rock or Uluru's probably technically been there. So 40 years doesn't sound very long. But it's just, I think it's just wonderful to think now that we've got a different lot of resorts there that cater to all budgets and all tastes, from your five-star luxury down to camping. So anyone can go. And it deserves more time than you think it does. Like we had 4 days there and said we could have stayed longer. You know, and we still did King's Canyon and Stanley Chasm and all those other areas around there, which are all beautiful in their own right as well. So if it's a place you haven't been to, I'd definitely recommend going. It's just, I think, so special. I think like the Opera House is known to Sydney. If anyone sees a photo of the Opera House or the Harbour Bridge, they know it's Sydney. They know it's Australia. Well, the same with Uluru. Mm. Anyone sees that monolith, there's nothing else like it in the world. So it's unique to us and it's very special. It's very sacred. You can do some wonderful Indigenous tours. You can walk around the rock. You can cycle around it. You know, you can do it. You can even do it on, not electric bikes. What am I trying to think of?
Electric scooters?
No.
Push bike?
The ones that you stand up on.
Oh, Segways.
Segways. I couldn't think of the word. Yes. So there's all sorts of ways you can go around the rock, the flights you can do, the tours you can do. And they've got a separate area for viewing now, which is great, where before everyone was trying to view from the same spot. So they've done it very well. So there's an area where the coach tours go, and that's just for coaches. And then there's another viewing area further away from that, so not everyone's crowded when they're looking.
Idea.
So if you've just driven in yourself or biked to where the viewing platforms are, went for sunrise and sunset, at least you've got space and room to take some beautiful photographs. And
how long would it take to walk around the
I haven't walked around it, to be quite honest with you, but it would take a few hours.
Really? Is it that? It's that big?
Oh, man, yes. When my husband went, he hadn't been before. Well, I hadn't been since, as I said to you, we were there about 8 years ago. He was just blown away. You've got no idea till you see it.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, when they're driving in, you come to Mount Connor first, which was linked to it when it was originally part of the same mountain chain. And everyone thinks that's Ayers Rock when they first see it, but it's not because it's a mesa. It's got the flat top.
Oh.
Yeah, it's one of those flat top mountains that you see a lot of in America.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yes, it's not. And they go, oh, there it is, but it's not.
No, it's not.
It's massive. But wait till you see Uluru.
I'm going to have to go now because, I didn't realise it would take that long to walk around a rock.
Mammoth.
You learn something new every day, don't you?
You do.
Now we are going to the Yukon.
We are. Totally different, isn't it?
Mm.
From Uluru to the Yukon. Yeah, and we're going to talk about it actually in winter. And you might think, oh, God, well, who would want to go to somewhere like that in winter? But, I mean, it's when you see these particular northern countries in a whole different light. Light being an imperative word there. Mm. But they come alive because you've got those vivid green and purple hues that you get of the northern lights, which you get there as well as you don't have to go, up into the Scandinavian countries. You can just go into the northern parts of Canada and you're still going to get that. You know, imagine just walking outside and glancing up at the sky and there you've got it. So, and you've got, the wonderful snowy forests and you see all the moose and the elks and everything just wandering through the forest. And it's a very outdoor experience, albeit a cold one, of course, but if you wanted to fly there, it's about 2.5 hours north from Vancouver to Whitehorse, which is the capital of the Yukon area. And as I said, you've got that wonderful, because of the low light pollution, there's a really good chance you'll also always spot the northern lights. It'd be, unless it was very cloudy, of course. You've got to, you need that clarity of sky. But even for say, you can have a really magical experience. You can drive 30 minutes out of the town and you sink into some warm, mineral-rich waters of their Nordic hot springs and watch the aurora above you.
Oh, magical.
How magical would that be, isn't it? So anyway, you've got lots of other things you can do there as well. Of course, there's plenty of stuff indoors. They have Finnish and infrared saunas, hot stone massages. You've got glass-fronted chalets so you can see the northern lights while you lie in bed, which is even more beautiful. And you've got historic Dawson City. Now, it's 530 k's north of Whitehorse, so you're even more likely to see the northern lights there than you even are in Whitehorse because there'd be a smaller city, less light pollution around as well. So that's another place you could go to as well, which is I always think of Dawson City as a real pioneering outback, sort of town.
Yeah,
it just always brings that image into my head all the time. You can even do things like dog sledding, of course.
I've done that before. It's fun.
Well, there you go. Yes, with your huskies, of course, as they, whoosh you across the snow and hear them panting and pulling you along. But they love doing it. So it's, not like you're doing them a disfavour. It's something that they enjoy doing. And, of course, you've always got plenty of huskies pulling your sled. It's not like it's just one poor husky.
No.
poor little thing. No, it's not like that at all. And then also you've got the wonderful Mount McIntyre Ridge there as well, which is on a lake. And for ski enthusiasts, you can be spoilt for choice as well because there's more than 85 kilometres of grooved cross-country ski trails if you wanted to do that. But you could also combine it with skiing, in Whistler or somewhere in British Columbia and Canada with going up into the Yukon. So you're not just... I shouldn't say because I'm not a skier and a ski enthusiast will hate me for saying this. You're not just going there to ski. You're spending all that money on an airfare. For heaven's sake, go and immerse yourself in the countryside as well. Have your skiing, sure. But yeah, go and do this. You know, visit these beautiful sanctuaries and forests and hot springs and, you know, immerse yourself in nature as well as doing your skiing.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
But
isn't it?
Yeah, all these areas, a lot of people forget about that northern part of America. Everyone tends to know all about the mainland of America that we all visit, like California and, you know, New York and Washington, et cetera, et cetera. And we know about the Canadian Rockies, but no one seems to.
Go north.
Yeah. Go north to Alaska, which, of course, you can keep going and do that as well.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, awesome part of the world. Mm. Yeah, so, yeah, just put it on your bucket list with everything else.
Yeah, it's a long bucket list.
I know, it grows and grows and grows. It's got a big, long tail.
And it's probably going to grow even more when we get to Hot Deals.
It will. So,
yeah. Hot deals.
Okay, now this one's very short-lived, but just in case you're on the cusp of about to book, this might encourage you to do so. It finishes on the 8th of November, and of course we've just had Halloween, and UniWorld, one of the river cruise companies, has decided that they want you to go and travel some of the rivers to visit hauntingly beautiful castles. So who knows what
at
the
night
castles...
night or during the day?
Well, that's up to you, isn't it?
Night would be a bit spooky.
You could do both if you wanted to. So they've got a range of cruises like going along the Rhine and various rivers, of course, all throughout Germany, etc., visiting some of these beautiful castles in Paris, Normandy, even in Italy. So they're just gorgeous. And I have a look at them. I think, geez, I'd like to visit all of those castles. Mm. So if you're wanting to, I mean, you don't have to obviously book by 8 November, you can to save your 20%, but gosh, 20% is a big saving if you can manage to do that. And it's sort of until they sell them out, so subject to any one of these cruises to them still being available, but then you've still only got till the 8th of November. But I just thought it was too good not to mention. Mm. Now, also, there's some lovely tours of New Zealand operating with Grand Pacific Tours with travel up to May next year. And you can save up to $600 per couple, depending on the length of tour you're doing, so long as you book by December 31. So you've got a bigger lead-in time with that one. Mark's not here, but Mark, if you're listening, I'm doing this for you.
Hurtigruten.
Or HX Expeditions, as they call themselves now. They've got flight inclusive now, which is fantastic. Departures from Australia going to the Antarctica. So you don't have to start searching for your best airfare. It's already included in your package deal.
That's great.
And that is fantastic. It's, you know, you pay once and that's it. And of course, everything's included on board. All your excursions are included. So really, you're not putting your hand in the pocket for anything other than an occasional upmarket drink or, you know, very, very minimal spending money. So, I mean, which we all know, as I've said before, you're going to one of the world's most remote and pristine destinations on Earth. Now, these flight inclusive expeditions depart between February 25 and March 26. And you've got different savings, again, depending on the duration of the itinerary. And also, there's no single supplements on some selected departures as well. So that's always worth to keep in mind for solo travellers. But again, very short lead-in on that one as well, only till the 11th of November. Okay. Viking Cruises have still got all their fly-free sail on for all their range of river and ocean cruises, and they all finish 15 November.
Right. Fantastic.
That's it.
We're sorted.
Yeah, we're sorted for this week
at least. Well, hopefully Mark will be back next week. So,
I know. I like doing it with you, Amanda.
You
we have a bit of fun.
We do. I'm sure you'll have some fun with Mark as well.
We do. we do, especially with the HX.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.